Good day, everyone. My name is Jay Winter. Today, we mark the 102nd anniversary of Armistice Day, 1918. I want to tell you the story of one artist and of one work of art that speaks to us about that war and the suffering it brought in its wake. The artist was Katie Kollwitz. She was a visual poet of the human body. As a sculptor, as a lithographer, as a woodcutter, and as a draftswoman, she produced visceral art, the art of suffering etched on human bodies. The work of art is the granite sculpture she made of herself and her husband, Karl Kollwitz, placed in the German war cemetery in Belgium, where the remains of their son, Peter Kollwitz, rest today. In August 1914, Peter Kollwitz was an 18-year-old Berliner, 2 years too young to join the German army with his conscription class. He did not have to join up, but he begged his parents to give him permission to volunteer for military service. Katie Kollwitz, like many other mothers throughout the world, saw little gain in war, and yet she gave her blessing to her son, who wanted to enlist in a war about which he dreamed, an idealist's war, a war of adventure, heroism, sacrifice. Peter's father, Karl, refused initially, but his mother talked him into giving his permission. 6 weeks after his enlistment, Peter Kollwitz was killed in Belgium, a victim of the bloodiest phase of the entire war of 1914-18. He was among 1 million men who perished in the first 4 months of the conflict. Katie Kollwitz never recovered from the shock of her son's death. Much more suffering was to follow her for 3 decades until her own death in 1945. The initial moment when she entered the new world of 20th century warfare was when in 1914, she received the notice that Peter had been killed in combat. That moment lasted until the end of her life. How to create an art of remembrance was a question to which she dedicated herself from the very first moments of grief. Let us follow her long search for an answer to that question. She never forgave herself for blessing her son's blind belief that volunteering for military service was a moral act, a formulation of the spirit of self-sacrifice, which came out of her own Protestant sense of a calling. In a series of drawings and etchings on the volunteers, she stood back from her commitment to real life, to naturalism, and presented her son and his generation as either doomed souls in a dance of death or hypnotized victims of their own innocence and blindness. Some of the sketches for this work have Death himself beating a drum with the volunteers in his thrall. Others have only his hand beckoning the lost generation to their fate. The dreamlike quality of these images of loss contrasts strikingly with the mood of another set of sketches and lithographs she made in roughly the same period. In January 1919, the Spartacist rebellion in Berlin left over 1,000 dead on the streets. The communist leader Karl Liebknecht was murdered by paramilitary police. Liebknecht's family asked Katie Kollwitz to provide a memorial work of art. His funeral and the reaction of the working class people who mourned him brought out Kollwitz's naturalism, which flowered in the very grittiness of her lithography. Here she highlighted the downward gaze of the mourners and the horizontality of the subject of their grief. The floating volunteers of her 1919 to 22 sketches and prints never captured the power of this woodcut, presenting the faces of working men, women, and even a child saying farewell to their fallen leader. These are faces Kollwitz knew from everyday life in Berlin, and when she kept her focus on them, she obtained a remarkable clarity of line and purpose. Before the war, she thought that lithography best enabled her to reduce her art to the core truths she wanted to explore. In her diary in 1919, she wrote, "Lithography now seems to me the only technique I can manage. It's hardly a technique at all. It's so simple. In it, only the essentials count." But she rapidly found that working in wood gave her an alternative pathway to the same description. For her son, though, Katie Kollwitz returned to sculpture and to stone. She committed herself early on to creating a figurative sculpture, a war memorial for Peter and his generation. More difficult was the question of what form to adopt for this monument. To find an answer, She had to struggle through contradictory feelings of grief, doubt, and despair that for years clouded her artistic vision. First came the dominant image, uncannily foreshadowed by the 1903 drawings she made of a mother with a dead child, of her refusal to let him go. She would cling to him in the sculpture in any way she could. Uncannily, her son Peter was the model for this drawing in 1903, 11 years before his own death. Then came the separation of their son's body from both parents, a retreat from the Pietà's palpable contact. Finally came the separation of the parents from each other, an astonishing comment on the loneliness of those who mourn a child who dies before them. "We are each alone," she seems to say, "in our own sea of grief, and can find whatever solace there is only within." It took her 18 years to work through the complex emotions she felt about Peter, but in 1932, she was ready to let go the work she did for him. It is an astonishing achievement, one which showed her ability to capture just the essentials, perhaps even more fully in stone than in lithography or woodcut. Here we see Katie and her husband Karl Kollwitz accompanying the Berlin workmen who brought her sculptures from Berlin to Belgium. These sculptures provide a unique vision of what a war memorial should be. It is a striking expression of the guilt of the elder generation who had nothing to offer the young other than mass death and mutilation. There they are, two elderly people on their knees in front of the young men who died before their time, begging forgiveness from those who died in war for their parents' generation's lack of sufficient intelligence or will to prevent war from upsetting the natural state of things when children bury their parents. Peter Kollwitz did not have this privilege. Instead, his life was cut short and for nothing. But Kollwitz went further. She believed her son had been misled and that the cause for which he had fought was polluted by arrogant and blind leaders, men who did not possess an ounce of the idealism of the volunteers of 1914. When war was declared, evil inherited the earth and millions died well before their time. The other striking feature, rare in its brutal honesty, is the gendering of mourning in these statues. Neither parent is supporting the other, and their poses suggest entirely different ways of expressing grief over the loss of a son or a grandson. The male figure is hieratic, rigid, almost Egyptian in contours, with his arms holding in his emotion. The blockage of male feeling is almost palpable. The female figure, in contrast, is bent over, perhaps in resignation, and the roundness of her body may point to the visceral memory of carrying this child for 9 months, then delivering him and nurturing him throughout his brief life. I do not know if Katie Kollwitz was aware that her son's military cemetery in Belgium would be perennially wet with rain or mist. But the inclement weather that in my experience almost always accompanies visitors to the site in Wladsloo in Flanders regularly places light or heavy precipitation on the statue. The result is that the figure Katie Kollwitz sculpted of herself weeps even today, a century after the end of the Great War. On this Remembrance Sunday, we would do well to dwell on this extraordinary work of art. It brings us up against the lingering reality of war, its shattering of families, and its tide of bereavement lasting long after the end of the conflict. Katie Kollwitz took 18 years to realize this memorial to her son, Peter. By then, her surviving son, Hans, had a family of his own. He called his son, Peter, after Hans's dead brother. In 1943, the second Peter Kollwitz was killed in fighting in Russia near Moscow. In 2014, the sculpture of the parents was recast and placed there, facing the grave of Katie Kollwitz's grandson. She died in 1945 in the waning months of the Second World War. One part of her enduring legacy is the set of images in stone of the burden of bereavement placed on the backs of mothers and fathers, mourning their children and grandchildren, deprived of a chance to live a full life. On this Remembrance Sunday, let us give a thought to them, to the elders of all nations, bent down by the weight of war, suffering in silence. And when you pass the Pembroke College War Memorial, give a thought not only to those whose deaths we honor there, but also to their fathers and mothers, brothers, sisters, wives, children they left behind. Remembrance Sunday is their day, the moment when communities in mourning down to our own times come together to pause and to reflect on war and its enduring legacy. Who will remember the rememberers? Asks poet Yehuda Amichai. We all do, because we all continue to live in the shadow of war. Thank you very much.